You're listening to an American Free Press podcast. Hello and welcome. Who wasn't shocked on September 11th, 2001? Whose senses didn't recoil in horror on that day? How many of us failed to swallow the 9/11 Commission's findings? If you met my next guest on the street, you might not even take a second look. An unassuming architect by trade, Richard Gage, after hearing an interview with David Ray Griffin, began to doubt at least one aspect of the compromised 9/11 Commission's report that the three skyscrapers in Lower Manhattan, World Trade Center Buildings 1, 2, and 7, collapsed due to fire. Convinced that the collapse of all three was a result of controlled demolition, he founded Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, to call upon Congress to open an independent investigation into the destruction of the buildings, and he won't rest until that happens. Joining me on the phone from San Francisco is Richard Gage, AIA, a San Francisco Bay Area architect and a member of the American Institute of Architects. He's the founding member of AE 9/11 Truth and has been a practicing architect for over 20 years, working on most types of building construction, including numerous fireproofed, steel-framed buildings. Richard, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here with you.
Richard, I want to ask you, what precipitated AE 9/11 Truth?
4 years ago, when I heard this information on the radio, I was just dumbfounded. I had to check it out. I said, I would have known about this by now. How could this even be true? I mean, this is ludicrous. The suggestion that these twin towers were brought down by explosive controlled demolition instead of jet plane impacts and fires caused by terrorists. What are we talking about? So I started looking at it, and all of a sudden, I'm realizing there's all of this evidence that I knew nothing about.
Right.
How could the media not have picked this up and reported it, this evidence we're going to be talking about? So I checked it out. It turned out to be true. I showed it to the 15 architects that I worked with at the time, most of whom thought I was just nuts as I was talking to them about this beforehand. And after they saw the presentation, they all agreed with me, oh my God, and they were in the same place I was, so I knew we had something that was not only the truth, but was marketable in terms of people could get it, they could understand it.
Right.
And so now we have over 1,260 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation as a result of the 150 presentations now that I've done around the world and 160 radio interviews. We are off and running. People are waking up.
This interview you heard on the radio was David Ray Griffin, right?
Yes, David Ray Griffin. He's written now 9 books on the subject of 9/11 truth and the evidence outside the three World Trade Center high-rise towers. Mostly he's written about the other pieces of the pie of 9/11, including NORAD standing down, put options, betting on the fate of the airliners, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. And I watched the entire 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, The Architecture of Destruction, which runs about 2 hours. And the one thing that stood out to me, there were a lot of things, but the one thing that mainly stood out to me, because I have a background in thermodynamics a little bit, was the energy. The energy just didn't add up, did it?
No, it takes an extraordinary amount of energy to accomplish all of the characteristics of the destruction of these buildings, including the crushing of 80,000 tons of structural steel in each twin tower, the creation of several tons of molten metal, which the first responders and structural engineers saw, and there's video evidence of, photographic evidence of, the first responders say it was flowing like lava. To create all of that, it takes much more than the 100,000 kilowatt hours of energy that's available as gravitational potential energy, for instance, in the North Tower coming down.
Mm.
Also, the pulverization of concrete, 90,000 tons of it, most all of which is pulverized to a fine powder, including the metal decking that was supporting it, that it's poured into. So, yeah, these energy sinks don't add up. It adds up to about 100 times the available energy in the gravitational potential of the building.
Mm-hmm. So you listen to the David Ray Griffin interview, and this became a personal and professional quest for you to get the answers, right?
This is true. There was nothing else that I could do once I realized that these buildings were brought down with explosive controlled demolition, and we were lied to there was no other choice for me but to make everybody aware. And frankly, I don't understand why it is not every architect and engineer's mission to bring this information to light and get a new investigation, which is our mission, to wake up people to these facts and to demand a new investigation.
Right. Has any steel frame high-rise building ever been brought down by any fire?
No, we have over 100 examples of very hot, large, and long-lasting fires in steel frame high-rises. And until 9/11, we had none of them brought down. And Building 7 wasn't even hit by an airplane. Building 7 is a 47-story skyscraper, a football field in length away from the North Tower. And it, in the afternoon, after sustaining some fires, which by photos and videos appear to be isolated pockets of fairly small fires, it begins a straight down, smooth, sudden collapse into its own footprint almost, and at free fall acceleration. It's falling as fast as a bowling ball, unresisted by anything but air, falling straight down for 100 feet, meaning those columns, those 80 columns in this building, had to have been removed, synchronistically timed floor by floor, in order to facilitate not only the free fall acceleration, but the symmetrical straight down collapse that it sustained. It looks exactly like one of the old hotels in Las Vegas when they bring them down. All those columns have to be removed within a tenth of a second of each other.
Right.
NIST acknowledges that this building came down at free fall, but they do not and will not acknowledge the implications of that, that those columns had to have been removed, and that can only be done explosively.
Right. NIST, of course, is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. That's a part of the evidence. I want to start here, if I may, because something that kept cropping up in the video, the path of greatest resistance and the path of least resistance. Can you explain for our audience why those two terms are applicable to the World Trade Center collapse?
All three collapses they're applicable to, because we have 40,000 tons of structural steel in World Trade Center 7 designed to resist any such collapse. In fact, it's about 5 times stronger than it needs to be. So where did all that capacity go to all of a sudden, instantly, allowing this building to fall as fast as a bowling ball with not one unit of resistance from any of the 80 columns? Very similar in the Twin Towers. We have 80,000 tons of structural steel. This exterior perimeter is almost solid steel. There's more steel than there is windows. And yet the building travels straight down through that path of what was supposed to have been, what should have been, the greatest resistance, all of that steel. The buildings should have, if they were going to collapse, tilt, twist, fall toward the path of least resistance, fall asymmetrically at the point of jet plane impacts in the case of the South and North Tower. And in the case of the South Tower, it actually does begin to tip, but then that entire 30-story section is systematically destroyed in what looks like a disintegration. It should have fallen off en masse down to the street below.
Right. So the asymmetrical damage created by the airplane created a symmetrical collapse, and that just doesn't make sense, right?
Not at all. And it's collapsing down at almost free fall acceleration in the Twin Towers. That's 2/3 of free fall acceleration. In other words, it's going faster and faster, straight down, smoothly, suddenly, without any jolting when it hits the, theoretically, this pile driver in the North Tower, the 15-story or 12-story section, is supposed to be driving the rest of the building down. But what we see instead is it's destroying itself in this telescoping, controlled demolition, just like we see in the old hotels. This upper section, it's gone in 4 seconds.
Right.
After 4 seconds, there's nothing driving the rest of the building down to the ground. It's tearing itself apart at free fall acceleration, and there are these explosions that occur out the side of the building below this so-called crush zone, dozen of them or more, that are obviously explosions because the videos show them to be 160 to 200 feet per second.
Right.
And very focalized points of ejections, pulverized building materials in the middle of the facade.
Right, the squibs.
Yeah, it's isolated explosive ejection.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the buildings falling as they did near free fall collapse, that violates the laws of physics, as you said in the DVD, right?
It does. Physics tells us when one body hits another, the momentum is transferred and the first body slows down or decelerates. This is what a hammer does when it's hitting a nail. The hammer would drive the nail in, but it would drive the hammer back. There's an equal and opposite force, but we don't see that when the North Tower upper section goes down. It continuously accelerates and there is no pushback from the building below. So something must have happened to the structure below to remove it. And what we hear from the first responders who were recorded in October is 118 of these first responders are talking about sounds of explosions at the onset of the destruction of both of these buildings. Before there's any collapsing building, they're talking about bands of explosions, pop, 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 all the way around the building. They describe it again and again the same way, and they see flashes of light as well. This paper can be seen on journalof911studies.com. And it can be seen in our DVD, too, which you can view online at our website, ae911truth.org.
Right. So, of course, you're talking about the Fire Department of New York, the FDNY Oral Histories, which took place between October 2001 and January 2002, where 503 firefighters were interviewed, and there was over 12,000 pages of testimony. And out of those 503 firefighters, 118 of them experienced explosions, right?
Yeah, they were blown around inside the building as well. Those who survived to talk about it, there were explosions all throughout the building, not just up at the top. And architects and engineers want to know, 1,200 of them that I represent, want to know why there's no stack of floors found at the bottom of either of these twin towers. There was 110 floors in each of the buildings, and they were each an acre in size. This is a massive quantity of 90,000 tons of concrete and metal decking. And what we see at the bottom of the pile in the photos and videos is maybe a two-story pile of core columns, perimeter columns. The floor panels, the trusses, the file cabinets are all pulverized, and there's fine metal filings in all of the dust spread for miles throughout lower Manhattan. This is anything but representative of a gravitational collapse. You can see the concrete pulverizing midair to a fine powder. When you look at it a second time with this in mind, you see a whole different series of activities, including these violent explosions racing down the corner 20, 30 stories ahead of the so-called collapse. It's very clear.
Right. And the explosions were experienced, like we said, by 118 experienced firefighters. I'm just curious, why were no explosions or any reference to explosions a part of the official story?
I don't know. I imagine they had something to cover up. Why wasn't the several tons of molten metal documented by structural engineers and first responders and seen pouring out of the South Tower? Why wasn't 10 minutes prior before it collapsed? You know, molten metal cannot be created by office fires or jet fuel. Those burn at about 1400 to 1600 degrees, yet this molten, it turns out to be molten iron, by the way, not even melted steel. We know that due to the chemical analysis done on it. It takes 2,800 degrees minimum to begin to melt steel or iron. So where did it come from? Well, the molten iron is the byproduct of thermite, an incendiary used by the military to cut through steel like a hot knife through butter. It's composed of iron oxide and aluminum powders. And so when this goes off, it creates massive ejections of molten iron, and that's what they find. And so we want an investigation that includes the findings of thermite, but NIST tells us that, first of all, they found no evidence for explosives or accelerants, and later they acknowledged that they never looked for it. FEMA found evidence of thermite themselves in the May of 2002 report. They find steel sections from World Trade Center 7 and the Twin Towers that were melted. They look like Swiss cheese.
Right.
This doesn't happen in an office fire. Other structural engineers document the melting of girders at the World Trade Center, and NIST completely eliminated this key piece of evidence, the Appendix C from FEMA's report, which documented also hot sulfur corrosion attacks. Well, sulfur is added to thermite to become thermate. It lowers the melting point of steel, makes it much more effective. They also documented the evaporation of the ends of these beams.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yeah, the evidence is there, and the dust that was omnipresent in those few days of that horrible tragedy. You said that the residue was consistent with thermite, of course, found in the dust, and of course, unignited thermite. And you even pointed to a peer-reviewed journal, I think it was called the Open Chemical Physics Journal, and they did a research paper in there called Active Thermitic Material Discovered in Dust from the 9/11 World Trade Center Catastrophe. Did NIST or FEMA or anybody pay attention to this study?
Apparently not. They refuse to acknowledge its presence. It's a damning indictment. It's a 25-page peer-reviewed paper that documents hundreds of these red-gray chips found in all the World Trade Center dust samples by this international team of scientists. The red side is composed of extremely small particles, 1,000 times smaller than a human hair diameter. These are nanoscale particles of iron oxide and aluminum powder, again, the components of thermite. They're intimately mixed together, and they're perfectly uniform to each other, and they're in the proportion to each other to make up thermite. This is in all the World Trade Center dust. When you get particles that small, they become very explosive, especially when set in an organic bed matrix like they are. So it's direct evidence of explosives in all the World Trade Center dust, and officials don't even care enough to comment on the report. It's a damning indictment. Now, when they heat up these chips in a little heater, a differential scanning calorimeter, they ignite at 420 degrees. This is energetic material, pyrotechnic. And what do? They produce these spheres. Well, these spheres of molten iron are just the same as all the spheres found by USGS in their toxicological studies of the dust. Up to 6% of this dust throughout Lower Manhattan is composed of these previously molten iron spheres.
Right.
Well, how could they have gotten previously molten iron without 2,800 degree temperatures? How could they have the chemical evidence on them of thermite at all without being coming from thermite, in this case, nanothermite composite explosives? So this evidence all ties together to support the hypothesis of explosive-controlled demolition, and none of it supports the hypothesis of fire. And that's why we have 1,200 architects and engineers demanding a new investigation.
Right. And of course, fire, as you point out in the DVD, 9/11 Blueprint for Truth, the fire was black, which means it was oxygen-starved. Can you explain to our listeners what is a heat sink and why that's important to the theory that fire brought down the towers?
Well, fires have never brought down a steel frame high-rise building, as we mentioned before, and the main reason is, even though these fires have lasted in many cases longer than the fireproofing that's designed to protect them, that heat is wicked away. It's conducted away through the massive steel structure away from its source. So the steel never gets to its failure point or halfway failure point of 1200 degrees Fahrenheit. So a heat sink draws heat away through itself, distributing it throughout, in this case, of the Twin Towers, 100,000 tons of structural steel. So that's why we've never had problems of fire bringing steel frame buildings down.
Right. So it's kind of like putting a teaspoon in a hot cup of tea or coffee. The spoon is going to act as a heat sink. Is that right?
Yeah, it distributes the heat along its length, burning your fingers in many cases.
So the evidence that was introduced, at least the official explanations, just it doesn't add up in any way, shape, or form. Richard, the fact that the three buildings of the World Trade Center are gone leads us back to the inevitable question of who did it? Who might have benefited from this? And how did they do it? Now, you talk about the elevator hoistway, and that in March of 2001, they were doing some modernization of the elevators, weren't they? Can you tell our listeners about that?
How could charges have been planted in these buildings with tens of thousands of occupants? Wouldn't they be aware of it? Well, if you had access to the elevator shafts, you would have immediate access to the core columns and beams in the North and South Towers, and no one would see you working in there. But you'd need some sort of an excuse, of course, and it seems that they had just that. The largest elevator modernization in the world, in fact, was going on in those shafts the 9 months prior prior to 9/11, which could have given them, whoever they are, unlimited access to plant those charges. Of course, they would have to be bringing in pallets of thermite or nanothermite into the building past security, so we would want a complete investigation, not only of Ace Elevator, who had the modernization contract, but the security company, Stratasec, Securicom, who needs to be investigated as well.
Right. And of course, the World Trade Center complex was purchased less than 2 months before the destruction from the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey by Larry Silverstein. Getting back to the elevators, it wasn't just that they were doing a modernization. Didn't they have guards there also?
There were reports of guards. Apparently they're not armed, and they were stationed at the elevators to presumably for safety to keep people during the modernization out of the wrong elevators. That's a report that we did have, yes.
Right. One of the most surprising things that I find with stories such as this is that the mainstream media seems to be silent. You point out that the news reporters, I thought this was good, the news reporters tended to tell the truth on the day of the destruction, but after that, nothing. Isn't that the case?
Well, the story of Building 7 went away. We haven't seen the third worst structural failure in modern history even discussed by architects and engineers in the literature. It took NIST 7 years to come out with their report on Building 7. And when they did, they basically just tried to put it to bed and didn't report on most of this evidence at all. And they were denying that it came down at free fall until they were forced into a corner by members of AE 9/11 Truth. So, yes, there's a huge media curtain drawn over this story. It's been very difficult for us to break into the media, and we look and try to see why, and we note that, for one thing, that there's about 6 corporations that own 90% of the mainstream media, and who sits on the board of directors of those corporations? The same people sitting on the board of directors of the oil industry, the arms industry, the banking industry, insurance industry, all of whom profited enormously from the events of 9/11. So we need to follow the money as well.
Exactly. And of course, the Twin Towers themselves weren't money-making buildings. I'm reading from a wonderful book, 9/11 Evil. On page 75, I'm quoting, it says, "And throughout their history, they were perennial money losers that required huge subsidies to remain solvent. They were also inordinately costly to maintain and were eventually plagued by another problem, asbestos." So this might have been part of a big business decision to bring these towers down. However, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to educate people, to get people interested in the evidence that you and fellow architects have provided, that the World Trade Centers were brought down not by fire. It wasn't a heat-induced gravitational collapse. It was controlled demolition. And if you want to find out more about this, you can go to www.ae911truth.org. Richard, can anybody sign the petition, or do you have to be an architect or an engineer?
Yeah, you bet. Anybody can sign. We have categories for others as well, in addition to our 1,200 architects and engineers. And if you don't want to sign a petition, but you want to get our free email newsletter, I encourage you to sign up for that with just your email address. And we'll keep you informed every month of what we're up to and how close we are to getting an investigation and new products we have for you to bring to the attention of your friends, colleagues, relatives, media officials, congressional officials, other architects and engineers out there. We have to get this information out as fast as possible. Join the millions who are already in the 9/11 truth movement, and let's get active so that we can make a grassroots, peaceful groundswell of awareness and education on this issue.
Right. I loved what you said at the end of your DVD. Avoid the debate, go back to sleep, and become a part of the problem. And you said, and it is a huge problem in America. America is asleep at the wheel, and you urge folks to get motivated and take action, because the most important thing, you said it twice in the video, is that 9/11 can happen again. So it's so important to support a new investigation. And how close are you to getting a new investigation started?
Judging by the reaction from Congress so far, we're not very far along. Judging by how many people tell me every day that they're handing hundreds of our DVDs out to others and our brochures, and now we have a newspaper with all of our evidence on it. You can find that on our website, by the way, in the store. A newspaper, half the cost of a postage stamp to buy in bundles, and you can get that out. There's a huge movement. It's growing, and it's growing rapidly. How soon will it'll get Congress to react and actually utter the words, we need a new investigation, I don't know.
Right.
Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich have called for a new investigation, in addition to Cynthia McKinney and Mike Gravel, former Congress members.
Right. And you travel all over the world speaking about this, don't you?
Yeah, indeed. We've been to 7 cities in Japan, spoke to the members of parliament there. They were very supportive after hearing our presentation. 3 cities in Australia, 3 in New Zealand, 6 cities in Europe, all across Canada. It's been quite a ride. We're going to China in October to present on the largest show, Dialogue, reaches 60 million English-speaking viewers inside and outside of China.
Mm-hmm. And you have some events coming up because we're approaching the 9-year anniversary of 9/11. Why don't you tell our listeners about some of these events, specifically, I guess, in the New York City, Washington, D.C. area?
Yeah, you bet. We're going to be presenting our DVDs and our petition to every member of Congress September 7th and 8th, and we will be having a major press conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on September 9th, and that will be immediately followed by a virtual debate where we will take on the main statement of all of the technical people supporting the official story. Those who won't come out and debate us, we will go to them. This will be a fascinating event on September 9th. Then we go to New York, and we have 2 different conferences that you can see on our website, ae911truth.org, and we'll be speaking directly to the We Are Change New York crowd, many people flying in from all over the country to gather. These are activists who will be out in the streets of New York on the 9th, 10th, and 11th, very, very vocal and raising attention. And there's another technical presentation on Sunday night at another important conference, How 9/11 Changed the World.
And it certainly did. One more time, I want to give the website, although you just did. It's AE, that's Alpha Echo, AE911Truth.org, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and that organization where Richard and I guess some of your crew will be at is WeAreChange.org, and of course that's the New York chapter because there's chapters all over the country. There might be chapters all over the world, I think, right?
Yes, all over the world for We Are Change. And Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth are rolling out our action groups as well. Many of these We Are Change chapters are becoming affiliates also of AE911 Truth, and we're going to be coordinating activities with them throughout the country and the world.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you proved scientifically, and I'm no architect or engineer or scientist, I have a little background in physics, you convinced me that these towers, all 3 of them, were brought down by controlled demolition. And even Larry Silverstein, the leaseholder, said that Building 7 was pulled, which means to be brought down. That evidence is clear. You said if Al-Qaeda didn't have access to Building 7, and who did, and this is as far as we go, the foreknowledge of the building's collapse. I want to bring up a book, 9/11 Evil, Israel's Central Role in the September 11th, 2001 Terrorist Attacks by Victor Thorne. This book ties together who could have done it, who could have gotten into that elevator shaft, who ran the security for the airports, for the World Trade Center, who owned the lease, who was in the Pentagon. This is very important. This ties in with your evidence, and I think this whole 9/11 truth movement is that folks are working on different parts of the puzzle, and one day they're all going to come together, and we're going to have the evidence right there for everybody to see. And I hope that this broadcast can bring folks to your website, Richard, ae911truth.org, and I hope that you continue to have all this energy and drive and passion to get the truth, get to the bottom of this.
Thank you, Dave. That's a great vote of support. We've got to get to the bottom of this. If we don't, you know, we've been promised yet another 9/11, far worse than the last, by members of the former administration, members of Congress, and members of the media. If they planned and executed 9/11, whoever they are, they can plan and execute another one. And so that's why we are working so hard day and night, trying to get the word out, trying to wake up our fellow Americans so that we can, if people realize what was done to them, they would throw every member of Congress out in the next election.
That's right.
So nothing short of that, I think, is necessary. A peaceful revolution that gets not only Congress, because many of them appear to be compromised. After all, they gave us the 9/11 Commission, which was nothing more than a cover-up of all of this darkness. So we've got to get up to the people pulling the strings.
Exactly. Now tell our listeners, what can they do to become a part of this, to help this process along?
Well, don't just believe what I'm saying, first of all. Research these facts for yourself, and you won't find them on the mainstream media. So you got to dig into the internet, 9/11 Truth. Our website has the technical facts that will be very helpful for you relative to the destruction of these three high-rises on 9/11. So you can share these facts with others. They're scientific facts. You don't have to even talk about conspiracy theories. You can simply say, hey, there's 1,200 architects calling for a new investigation. Are they all conspiracy theorists? What's going on here? Can you check it out and let me know what you think? That's an easy way to present the 9/11 truth. We have brochures and cards and DVDs that can be very helpful. Of course, our new newspaper, the 9/11 Investigator, has all of these articles in it. Very, very powerful. So that's what we need to do. You can also, just by sitting in front of your computer, email the ae911truth.org link to every architect and engineer that you can find and everybody else that you know.
Are there any architects who are taking the opposite position of your organization? With evidence, I mean.
I don't know of any architects. There are a few engineers that support the official story. And, of course, they cite the NIST report. After all, you know, it had 10,000 pages of analysis, and they interviewed thousands of witnesses and all of this stuff. This whole appeal to authority, which completely neglects the fraud and distortions and omissions throughout the NIST report, which we document some of in our 9/11 Blueprint for Truth. And Jim Hoffman documents very well in his NIST's three-year, $20 million cover-up of the crime of the century. You can find that on our website, but also on Jim Hoffman's excellent website, 911research.com.
Okay, and of course, the four official investigations, none of them were independent, and you explain why. And just getting back to the DVD, Blueprint for Truth, you can go to ae911truth.org, and you can either purchase the DVD through the store tab at the top, right about in the middle, or you can download it and watch it for free. Is that the case, Richard?
Indeed. Yes, it can be watched on Google Video. So whatever it takes, however you need the information, it's there for you. Just get up off your rear ends, everybody, and join me in getting this information to our fellow American. As you mentioned, Dave, we are asleep at the wheel. We've got to find out who's driving. It's time to wake up from our dream.
Exactly. Richard Gage, you're a great man. I appreciate the time that you spent with me today educating our listeners, and I hope that all these events in the future will lead to the inevitable, and that is an independent, thorough investigation of what brought these buildings down. Richard Gage, thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave. I really appreciate the opportunity.